This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network.
This podcast is sponsored by Key for Her. To get 20% off your first order, head to keyforher.com and use the code word tight. So Kate is missing.
Missing in action since the end of January?
Yes. Now, there has been many theories. There was talk for a while that she could have been on The Masked Singer, and that would have made sense.
That's such a lovely idea.
So that didn't happen. Other people suggested possibly she was growing out a fringe and she's like, sorry, I can't do the bits.
Mm-hmm.
Then people were saying she got a BBL. Right?
BBL, oh, the butt lift, bum lift. What's it called? Brazilian butt lift. Is that the name of it?
Yeah. They're saying maybe she got that something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We just know that she's missing. There was a picture of the release for Mother's Day, and it went up on a few like news sites and stuff.
I saw that, yeah.
It's been redacted, but she's there with the three kids. Whether it was AI or whatever, everyone knew it was fake because Kate managed to get a good picture with her three kids for Mother's Day, and that's bollocks because no one can achieve that. All the kids were hugging her, touching her and smiling. Who has pictures like that of themselves with their kids?
Not with three of them at once.
No.
No. You might get one child smiling or
looking at the camera.
Or two, yeah. But you wouldn't get the three of them.
Three of them looking.
They'd be well trained and behaved, but...
Yeah, but I mean, there's only so much.
Anyway, it doesn't matter. I think they've discovered that the picture was not real and Kate is still missing. But why is there such a frenzy about this? Because I don't really understand why there's such a fuss.
Because they can't find her. There's,
I know, but have they not announced Kate is stepping away from her duties to
they
take
did.
A break?
They announced that, yeah.
Right. So what's the problem?
People want to know where the fuck she is.
Like they want to know what house she's in.
They want to know. Yeah, they want to know.
She hasn't been seen for a walk.
She hasn't been seen at all.
Hmm.
So they're trying to figure out where she is.
They're turning her into Where's Wally?
Like, totally.
Why do we need to know where Kate is? What is the fuss?
People are worried. People think that there's something going on. But I think, look.
People have too much time on their hands.
People need to check Stephen's Green car park. I'm always fucking getting lost in there. She could be in there. Check RT player. No one would fucking know if she was there. That thing doesn't work. Check RT player.
Very good, Emma.
Where else? Oh, yes. I actually looked into celebrities. I know she's more than a celebrity, but you know what I mean? Personalities that were famous, well-known, and then pulled away from the spotlight and came back.
Oh, yeah. So I'm very interested in this.
Do you know that kind of thing? So remember,
was I on your list?
No. But Winona Ryder.
Oh, yeah, Winona. She left the business.
She left the business when she got done for the shoplifting.
Yes.
And then she kind of came back and
regrouped. You'd have to hang your head in shame now when you're a star and you're done for shoplifting.
Sorry, Smoothiegate.
Smoothiegate.
You robbing smoothies in Dublin Airport?
Ah, no. She was robbing designer clothes. I don't think we're in the same. I'm robbing smoothies because people don't know, how to run their business. And I want to say, look it, lads, you can't do this because people will just take your shit. I was only trying to prove a point.
Okay, Deirdre's rules, yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's no way Kate was shoplifting, or Catherine, or whatever she's called now. And then I was looking at people who did it well. So, this is my theory that I've come up with, right? George Foreman.
The grill man?
Yeah. See now, he started out as a boxer,
mm-hmm.
did all that. Then he took some time away. Then he rebranded.
Came back with a grill.
So I think possibly Kate is in the process of rebranding.
Ooh.
And she's going to come back with like a fucking air fryer or something. But I think she's come back for a rebrand because the royal family, I mean, that doesn't have long left. They're all going to have to start earning across fairly lively. I disagree.
I think it's going to go on forever. I do.
Do you?
I think their money will get less.
With that hairline, it can't continue.
Oh, sorry, their relationship, you mean?
I mean the royals.
That will come to an end.
Yeah.
You see, they're just too big a part of the British culture, you know. It's like the Beatles, you know. It's like royalty, the Beatles, roses, gardens.
Okay.
These are the things. This is England. You know,
so you feel like it'd be like a slow goodbye.
Well, look, all that pomp and ceremony, they do it brilliantly. I mean, my God, the weddings and the funerals, and they sell that all over the world. That is their tourist industry.
Okay.
You know, the lads, the yeomen of the guard and the hats and all that. That's not going away anytime soon. And I don't believe people wanted to go. I don't. I mean, the English, they're very into the English. Look at them. They wouldn't join Europe.
Yes.
You know, they love England.
Do you think she will come back with like a range of air fryers or no?
I don't think it's like her. It's interesting. So they said she had abdominal surgery.
Yes.
Which could be anything.
Could be anything.
And she's just out of the limelight and she's having a rest. I mean, they've had a very intense time of it now. The whole Meghan and Harry divide and everything out in the public.
Charles has been sick.
That would take it out of you.
Yeah.
And the Queen died and the whole lot. But wouldn't you just reach? I'd say she's just burnt out.
Exhausted.
She's having a rock star moment. Wrecked. I've been in the public. I think the Meghan thing was particularly... there was a moment... Now, I was on Meghan's side over all of that palaver. I did think that the British press were absolutely vile to her. But I didn't think it was good when she spoke to Oprah and slightly dissed Kate.
Oh, yeah, but there was a bit of a dig there, wasn't there?
There was quite the dig now. There was one of them she said she the papers had made that she had, Meghan said the papers said that she had made Kate cry. And what she said was, actually, the real story was that Kate made me cry. And, but she had written an apology note. And Meghan said, but she owned it. She owned it and she wrote me a nice note. But why did you have to tell the world about this private, private moment to Oprah? She lost me. Meghan lost me just now for a minute. I'm still on her side. But she did lose me there because I just thought, I think we all know that Kate was nice to her. And she was very close to Harry, you know, and all that. So it was all very upsetting.
Because for good while it was kind of the three, like, Harry was the third wheel,
they
really.
Were the threesome. Harry and Kate and William had all those years of happiness. Look at me like I was involved.
That's why I'm letting you fucking run with this the way you're talking about it.
They were so happy. And
you're
now,
talking about like this is Deirdre's insight. Like from being, knowing them the way I know them,
and it looked like, you know, she would have loved a woman to come along and sure enough she did. And then they were a foursome and they were very happy for ages. And then it all just went tits up and now the brothers aren't talking. That's very stressful. But talking to Oprah and telling her. I think there was one story about her daughter not liking the dress. She was a flower girl. Now, if your daughter comes to you crying because the dress is very plain and she's a flower girl, then you go to the bride and you say, look, she just wants a few flowers or something in her hair because this is too plain. Every child wants to be a flower girl, but you can't put them in the plainest dress ever, you know. So that's what happened there.
Thank you to Deirdre O'Kane, Royal Correspondent. We'll be back after this. Like, where did you pull this shit?
Don't know. I don't know why.
This is
any of that. I'm not even involved. I'm not even interested in the royals. I mean, this is pure.
This is pure hungover to fuck chat. No, but I tell you what I always thought about Kate. Is the thing about Kate is...
I was taken.
Still on Meghan's side, but she said that then.
It's not about Kate. It was more the Meghan story that I got involved in.
Oh, you liked that.
I didn't like the racism. I was very interested.
None of us, hang on, sorry, can I just say, I didn't like the racism either. Like as if, Deirdre didn't like it.
I know. But there were an awful lot of people who were not on Meghan's side.
Disgusting.
Yeah, but therefore, that's my point. Not everybody didn't like the racism.
Yeah.
A lot of people, including in my circle, were going, I don't like her. Don't like her.
Okay.
And I don't like how she's behaving or what she's doing or what she's saying. And I thought that was getting weird, frankly. I was like, no, actually, leave her the fuck alone.
But I think as well, when Kate came into the royal family, like they really did the dig on her as well.
Did they?
Oh, I think
she
did.
She got no grief, love. The press never gave Kate
college and
that's nothing. That's standard. A few pictures from her past and she was looking hot as you like.
Yeah, she
walking
was
down the catwalk with nothing. Not thrilled with that.
She was only like, she met William when she was like 20.
In college in St. Andrews.
So she hadn't much.
Corresponded. St. Andrews in Edinburgh.
Meghan'd been married before. She'd had a Hollywood career.
Yeah.
She had lived more of a life than ever.
But listen, it was nothing to do with them digging up her past. It was the fact that they just were bloody racist.
Yeah.
Openly so. I mean, yeah, totally. Piers Morgan, the way he treated that girl, it was vile.
Yes. And actually, that's the whole...
And I actually messaged him and he blocked me.
You messaged him?
I was very angry about something and I can't remember what I said, but the next thing I was blocked.
Did you start away? I went to boarding school, Pierce, and let me tell you.
And let me tell you. It was some comment he made anyway.
Was it a private message or a public?
Oh, it was just a public. Something.
Oh, yeah.
Something like, I don't remember what I said, but yeah. It was definitely... I think I'd reached a point where I could feel the bullying and it yes. I read something. I very rarely responded to anything, but that man kind of makes my blood boil. Now I've stepped away. I don't look at any of that stuff anymore.
Well, no, sorry, let's just clarify that. You haven't stepped away, you've been blocked. It wasn't, it's not actually your decision. Oh, I've pulled up the pole, like, oh no, but I've... Just for me and Meghan, I've stepped away because it's kind of what the family wanted. Now you've been blocked. You've been blocked.
Yeah. I'm quite proud of that.
Ah, yeah, that's a badge of honour.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good if he blocked you.
Listen, bullied her. He bullied her day after day after day after day.
Yeah. Oh, he
and
was fucking
I found
obsessed
it
vile,
with her. Vile.
He met her once for coffee, didn't he?
He was so vile. She's letting the country down. I just couldn't bear it.
He couldn't get over it. He met her once for coffee when she was at a stage of, oh, somebody told her, oh, he'd be good to chat to. She'd meet him for a coffee. And she did. And she met him. And then she was like, right, I'm not going to meet him again. Grand. He just couldn't get over it.
No.
Weirdo.
He's a horrible, horrible man.
He's like, you don't want to be disparaging about people's appearance, but he's got a big fat fucking slug head.
One of my favourite jokes ever is...
And I mean that in the nicest possible way.
I talked over you. Do you want to repeat that? What did you say?
What did I say? Big fat fucking slug. I said a big fat fucking slug head needs to fuck off.
Yeah.
But in the nicest possible way. I don't... No badness in that. But fuck off with your big fat like slug head, yeah.
No, he's not a nice human.
No.
Like, let's be clear about that. That he is not a nice man.
No.
To bring down a young woman.
It's just even on, and just him read being that on middle paper, aged it's not a good look, is
man
it?
With that platform to go after her day after day after day. There's just something deeply nasty and it unsettled me. Hence, I responded to something that I shouldn't have. It was nothing, one line of something.
You know
I was going to tell you my favourite joke about Piers Morgan.
Oh, do, yeah, yes.
It's Stephen Fry's. Did we hear this?
No.
Stephen Fry said, what is the definition of countryside? Killing Piers Morgan. Countryside.
It's
good, isn't it?
Countryside. You know Sharon Osbourne, but she's doing the Celebrity Big Brother in the UK because she's...
Are you watching?
I've watched a bit of it, but she has been like essentially cancelled from working in America because she supported Piers Morgan. That kind of ended
back
her...
Back to Piers!
That ended her career
in
America. No, she... supported him.
Yeah,
she
what I meant.
Yeah,
I meant he got her cancelled.
So that was done.
What was she supporting him? Tell me what happened in America. I've forgotten.
I think it was to do with his opinions on Meghan.
Wow, and she supported him.
She supported him.
Yeah, there you go. Well,
good luck,
Sharon. Support the young woman.
Yeah. Sharon and Louis together are good.
Are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're good bitches. Gossips.
They're not
holding back and they don't give a shite. And that's the point. What's lovely is they've reached an age now where, you know, she's been cancelled in America. She's nothing to lose now. It's like spill all the beans now. Has Louis given any major revelations about anyone?
Has Louis given any?
He hasn't said anything yet that's caused a furore, has he?
No, well, the two of them have been going on about Simon Cowell.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting.
They've been giving out about him.
Right.
And I don't think either one of them are best pleased about a whole kind of finish with Simon. So they're just There's whatever you want to know, they're going to say it.
They're great pals, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah.
Sharon and Louis.
I think that's why they agreed to do it, that if the other one did it.
Yeah, because they could have a bit of crack.
You see now, I think you and Sharon would get on well.
I think we would as well.
Because Sharon isn't technically...
Apart from the fact that she was on the wrong side of the Meghan issue.
I think it's would get on. So she is not technically a housemate. She is a big brother lodger.
Yeah, which is what I would be if I was asked to do it. I'd say,
yeah. You didn't have to tell me.
She has her own room. Yeah.
Yeah, she has a snug. She has her own room.
Slightly apart.
She's not sharing a room.
Of course she's not sharing a room.
But no one else on Celebrity Big Brother has ever done this, gotten their own room. She's like,
yeah,
proper order. I have my own room.
Yeah, proper order. I'm the queen, if you want me. These are my...
If you did an Irish...
These are my demands.
If you did an Irish...
They wanted her enough, they gave her a room.
Just say... They did an Irish version of Celebrity Big Brother.
I wouldn't do it.
Would you not do it?
No, are you joking? At this stage of my life, no. Would have done it if I was a young one trying to make it.
Not even if they gave you a little room.
I thought you were going to say not even if they gave you like some serious dosh.
They gave you how much?
Money.
Much.
A lot.
Lot.
A lot.
They could have you. They could have
I wouldn't
twink.
Do it for less than. Oh my God. I can't.
They'd have you, Twink, Dickie Rock. Sil Fox.
Look at Piers Morgan over there. Bullying, punching down now.
I'm only messing. I wouldn't do it either.
I have to tell you, I fucking hate them. Kids' birthday parties. I'm allergic.
Yeah. Oh yeah, let's just start there. Tell us.
We said we wouldn't talk about parenting, but we'll do this quickly. Snakes and fucking ladders. Snakes and Ladders was a place we went to.
Snakes and Ladders?
Yeah. One of those bouncy... Oh,
yeah.
Off they'd go. Nets. Huge. It was a massive thing.
It's the noise of the place.
Snakes and Ladders presumably goes up and down.
Yeah. It's the volume of the noise.
But there wasn't a bit of clean air in the building. I mean, this was pre-COVID. You wouldn't go into one now. Like,
no.
Mank.
You can't open a window in those places to just let a bit of air in.
God,
they're trying to suffocate you.
Hundreds of kids screaming, climbing up and down bouncy castle things with nets crashing into each other. Then when they would go up, they'd be lost. Like you couldn't see yours.
Child. It was one of those places, yeah.
So you just had to relax. Like you had to just go and find a seat, but you couldn't leave in case anything happened. That's the bit that I think I have the real problem with. I want to leave.
You want to leave.
I'll pick you up.
Yeah.
Our mothers didn't sit around waiting for us.
No.
You were dropped. Like you were left, come home when you're hungry.
Totally
there was no
dropped.
Waiting around for kids. Anyway, those places, yeah.
My friend.
Snakes and Ladders. Don't care if I never said that.
My friend worked. Well, me and my friend Laura went and lived in Corktown for the summer.
Corktown is Wexford, is it?
Yeah, yeah. That was what
I... myself that I knew that.
Yeah. No, that's what I did. I went off to discover the world and I got as far as Corktown. I got pregnant for 4 days.
Oh, Emma, you thick. What
age? I know.
What age were you?
18. We went and lived in her family's mobile home. I got a job in the Chipper. She got a job in Pirate's Cove.
You're so glamorous. I got a job in the Clipper.
Pregnant in
the
mobile
and I got
home.
Pregnant in 4 days. But look at you now. What a 360. But what a turnaround. Now she's on the cover of Woman's Way. Oh, what a turnaround.
Woman!
I'll turn that shit around. She's on the cover of Woman's Way. This is how you do it. It doesn't say, went to Corktown at 18, got a job in a chipper, got pregnant. Here's our cover girl. Well
say
done, love.
Nothing.
Very proud of you.
Thanks.
Well done.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all working out okay. But she was in this Pirate's Cove. That was like the kids' play adventure centre.
Oh, that she worked in.
She worked in. I had a much easier time. Well, it was a chipper / restaurant, as is the case in Ireland. But she, so I got fed and all that. But in her job, she didn't get food. She used to be praying for a code brown. That's what they called it in the place. So a code brown.
You a can poo guess. In the poo.
Yeah,
in the ball pit.
Oh.
Because if there was a poo in the ball pit, you could shut the place down.
What do you mean by the ball pit?
So you know the ball pit where you like pop the toddlers in and the kind of younger kids. So this was in Cortown.
Oh,
so
just those big little bouncy balls that they dive into. Yeah.
So you had like the slides and all that and the net thing and all those kids up there screaming. But you had something for the toddlers down below.
Mm.
I know the kids might kind of jump in it, but if a poo got loose, you'd have to shut it down. And my kids actually, we've been swimming, it happened at 2 weeks in a row. We went up to the swimming. Nobody phoned us. We had it booked in. And they said, there's been a contamination in the pool. We can't, there's no classes today. And I was like, oh my God, contamination. What, like, what's going on there?
It's very Nazi Germany, isn't it?
Yeah, very harsh. And then one
I think they should just say there's been a poo in the pool.
Yeah. One of the girls, she mouthed to me, there was a shit. Kid took a shit. Then we went back the following week. It happened again. Very harsh word as well, I have to say.
Just a child.
I know, but she probably had to clean it. So if you're cleaning it, it's shit.
A poo in the pool. You know, what's the word I'm looking for? What's that word? What's the shakes? Alliteration. Thank God for Laura.
Yeah.
A bit of alliteration.
I get you, but if you're cleaning someone else's child's poo, I think it's fair enough to call it shit then.
Okay, I'm not going to argue with you over,
do you know what I mean?
Over this because it's just...
Yeah, we'll move on.
Yeah.
We'll move on.
What were we going to talk about today? Well, you were in a headset place with
your child. Yeah, but I can tell by you, you're just like, you don't even want to get onto the topic.
I'm a little bit allergic. I get you.
Yeah,
you know, because I was going to say we're out of it, but you're not because you've just done this at the weekend.
I think this is probably my last full class party.
Oh Christ. You know what I mean? Full class. I never had a full class.
What?
Never. I could not. Actually, I'm telling a lie. I just remembered one. Yeah. I had hired a fucking clown. A clown. Or was he a magician? I mean.
Was this in London?
Yeah.
I knew it. The notions
in
on
a hall. Oh, Christ.
In a hall.
Well, what can you do? I didn't have a house that was big enough to have a party. And
so you're compensating. And you thought, I'll get the clown.
Oh my God, Emma, the horror. Like the horror. It brings back horror to me. I hated those days so much. What I will say about the kids' parties is when they're done, the relief and the satisfaction that it's done. But I don't think it should be this stressful. I kind of don't agree with any of it.
I don't know how we can pull little it back.
Little ones as well, 4, 5 and 6 year olds, don't be putting any money into parties. Maybe when they're 8 or 10.
I know, but once they get into junior infants, that's what all the messages are about.
Whole class parties, though, love. That's too many.
That's what
kids
we've been doing.
I know, 10, max 10.
Do you think?
Yeah, I think that's what I did after that one. I was so traumatised. I said, you can have 7 friends.
One of the moms told me something very funny, right? So the way it's happened now in the class parties, they just give them a card and they put a tenner in the card.
Yeah, grand. Right?
Which is perfect.
Perfect.
Not by presents.
No fact presents.
But she said on Valentine's Day, her husband gave her a Valentine's card in front of the kids. And she said, the daughter piped up, she goes, is that your Valentine's card from Dad? She said, yeah, isn't it lovely? And she said to her brother, she said, did he not put any money in it for you?
And you know, she would have loved a bit of money. Yeah, there's something lovely about being given cash, isn't there, from your fella?
Yeah. In the Valentine's card.
Yeah, I'd love that. I'd love it. A tenner or a 50. A 50 would be delightful. A crisp 50.
Wouldn't it be nice?
Oh, you'd give him the ride for a crisp 50. You would. Hannah, happy Valentine's Day to you, love. Yes, I will.
One of those 50s you can hold at either end and just go, makes that lovely kind of pop noise.
You'd just be delighted. It's just the thrill of it.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, I went through a phase of asking Steve to pay me.
Did you?
I can't believe I've said that. No, what are you talking about? No, what?
No, I think you should for a
blowing. Just pay me for sex. Forget. There was no specifics.
Oh, so what were your rates? Oh, it was just whatever you fancy
doing.
I was just
doing a bit of cash. Throw a bit of cash there. I like cash.
Notes, crisps, notes.
Listen, I didn't set an amount. I'm not getting into the details. I better just rein this in.
But you weren't opposed to the idea of
it's
him
funny.
Leaving a bit of
I think it's
cash.
Funny. I think it's very funny. And I think it's good crack. Yeah.
No, sometimes I like to pretend that I don't know him. Oh, that's yeah. Well, this is, now yeah. you're getting into a whole other, you're getting into a whole other conversation now. I like to pretend that I don't
say,
know.
So I'll just say this and then I won't say anything more. Sometimes I like to whisper into his ear, what did you say your name was again?
That's good. I'm dying to hear his answer. Does he guess who you'd like it to be? And does he give you that name?
I can't believe he's going to fucking kill me. I can't believe I said that.
You did. And I'm after coming out with, so we need to move on fairly yeah, lively on. Before both of them, both of them yeah, leave us.
I'm 39, nearly 40.
When will you be 40? I need 40. That to happen fairly lively.
I'm 40 in June.
Hooray!
Yeah, yeah.
Hooray!
But should I be taking Kiefer Hare now?
I would take it, yeah. I would take it. Well, it's not going to do you any harm. It's only going to do you good.
True.
Yeah. It's a fantastic supplement. But also the collagen you want, and this thing has everything. And if you were feeling, if you thought, people are always confused about when they're perimenopausal. Because it's not an exact science.
Is that a symptom?
Is that a symptom? If you start sneezing in the middle of a sentence, you've got it.
But that's it. Like everything points towards it.
I mean, because there's a rough guide that will say 45 to 55 is rough perimenopause to menopause. But you could be 30. You could be 38. You could be 40. Yeah. You could be.
It's kind of like puberty. People could be 9. People could be 16.
Yes. Yes. It's not an exact science.
Yeah.
And then people go. And also the range of symptoms are quite different for different people, right?
Yeah.
Like if you find yourself being very irritable. A bit of low mood, going, God, why am I so down and so irritable? Well, obviously the hot sweats are a very obvious one.
Yeah.
You know, but the irritable and being down, people might not necessarily think, oh God.
And it's a hard one actually to be aware of yourself.
It is.
So maybe once you're kind of coming to 35, it's something to think about.
Watch out for. Yeah. Something to watch out for. Yeah.
Because it's going to head that way regardless, isn't it?
Yeah.
Was there a symptom for you in perimenopause that you were surprised by, or you thought, oh, I didn't even know this was a symptom?
Well, I went to the doctor because I was very low. I had a very, very low mood, which is unlike me. Like, I could have a day where I'm low, but I can get myself out of that. Yeah. Fairly, I can turn it around. But this was going on for weeks. And I said it to a friend of mine. I said, I must be menopausal or something. Anyway, I went to a doctor. I was living in London. And she said to me, well, what's going on in your life? Now, my dad was very sick. My dad was dying at the time. And when I told her that, she said, oh, that's all it is. And she dismissed me. And she was absolutely wrong. I was fully in it. But she interpreted the fact that my dad was dying as the reason I was low, but it was nothing to do with that. I was 100% in full perimenopause, and I went to a doctor a couple of months later to a different one. They said, absolutely.
I think you've actually probably hit the nail on the head there, why it's so hard for women to know exactly when they're in perimenopause, because they're always going to have so much other stuff going on in their life.
Yeah, of course.
That they could put it down to, oh, I haven't been exercising, I haven't been this
I'm
or
running
whatever.
Off my feet, I'm working.
The kids are doing this, whatever. So it's probably just a good thing that if you are getting into your 30s to start thinking about it, because it's coming down the line.
But also some people think, oh, it's just hot sweats. We don't know much about it because nobody ever talked about it before. This is only being talked about in the last 5 years. Now, is that not shocking to you? You see, I find that very shocking that this has become a talking point only now. It's 2024, is it?
Yeah. That was about to be a magnificent point until you had to check what year
she always
was.
Has to check the year and the month and the day.
No, it's definitely 2024, yeah.
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 But like, how has this become an unspoken thing for so long? How? But then again, I mean, how were we kept down for so long? You know, how the fuck has this become a taboo subject? Like, seriously?
I know. We only got divorced in 1996, so it takes time. But we're here
and the
now.
The French had it in the 1800s. And I remember when I heard that, I thought,
the 1800s.
Oh Christ, we're very behind. That's a lot of catching up to do. They had divorced in the 1800s and we got them. What did you say, 19 what?
1996.
Wow. Wow.
So we've got a lash to keep her.
Ah, listen, get it all in. Catch up. Get it all in. Take it anyway. If you have a suspicion that you're in this phase of your life, yes, right? Perimenopausal or menopause, just go on to the Key for Her website, which is keyforher.com, and get the Key Collagen and get the Key Perimenopause supplement and take it. And there's a 20% off with our code, which is what, Emma?
Tight.
Tight.
For Keep It Tight listeners.
Yeah. Now, will we have one of these collagens for the crack?
Might as well.
You could throw this. I was thinking this would be lovely to have with your gin.
The last person who followed me that I got a bit excited about was Shane Ritchie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you would get excited about Shane Ritchie. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Shane's a bit of crack, yeah.
Oh, do you know him?
I don't.
Oh. But he would
I've
have been,
encountered him at things.
Yeah, he would have been, when I was a kid, he would have been one of my secret fancies.
But how come isn't that gas that he followed you on Instagram? Like, yeah. By chance. By chance.
By chance.
You would have had him in your head. You manifested him, Emma.
I think so.
You manifested Shane Ritchie.
I've
well
always,
done.
I've been always fascinated by these...
gangster these, types.
Yes. And men who are in their, like, men who are
middle-aged.
Now
I know what Shane is whispering in your ear. Who did you say your name was again? Shane Ritchie.
I'm always fascinated.
Handy that he's a Shane.
You know,
another one.
Middle-aged men. That
oh, Shane, go on.
I'll have to get him to change his name now. But you know these middle-aged men who are like cheeky chappies?
Yeah.
They could still be playing buttons. You know
I
what
know.
I mean?
And like they're so, you can't not love them.
Oh, totally not.
You can't not love those gangster cheeky chappies.
Do you know who I used to fancy as a kid, right? Now you won't remember this, but there was a time on RTE, right, where they used to show the Monkees, the TV show.
Oh yeah,
on a Saturday morning.
Sorry, did you say you won't remember?
No,
this?
you won't remember. But no, this wow. From my perspective, right?
I think I remember that.
So I'm watching the Monkees on a Saturday morning when I'm a kid, and I fancy Davy Jones.
Okay,
thought he was gorgeous.
Yeah,
cheeky chappy. Okay,
isn't
cheeky
it
chappy.
How young we are when we're fancying people.
I know, but me, little girl, mad for the cheeky chappies, right? Loved Davy Jones. Obviously couldn't tell anyone. I've only like two brothers. I'm not going to tell them who I fancy. Anyway, I'm enjoying the Monkees every Saturday morning, blah, blah, blah. Then he's on some TV show in the UK and I find out that my lovely Davy Jones is proper fucking elderly. I didn't know that those Monkees repeats at RTE were so old.
Your Davy Jones, is he still alive?
I don't know, but my Davy Jones is in his 40s. But I know the Davy Jones in real life is, if he's alive, is probably late 70s.
Oh, if he's alive, yeah.
So it was too old for me. So at least with Shane Ritchie, I know what age
Shane
he is.
Shane Ritchie's not too old for you.
No, he's not too old.
No, Shane Ritchie's not. Is he even 60?
I'd have to be. I couldn't do that to Colleen. I wouldn't do it to Colleen.
What is he?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ. I thought you were telling me Shane Ritchie was long dead. Who?
Davy Jones.
Yeah, yeah, Shane yeah, Ritchie's yeah. only, I don't think Shane Ritchie's 60 yet. She thinks he is. I'd say he's 59.
Oh, okay, he's close.
59.
I couldn't do it to Colleen.
I'm 50. Do you love her?
I love 50?
50-50. Do you love her?
50-50-50, who's that?
She was that actress. I adore her. She was on Saturday Night Live. Molly Shannon. I'm 50. 50-50-50. She's hysterical. Okay, have a look at her. Have a look at her.
Oh, I know her when she's doing the high kicks
oh,
and everything.
High kicks.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah, yeah.
Sorry, I can yeah. never watch it without falling.
Yeah, I know.
I adore her. Follow her on Insta. Wait till you see her. Talk about attitude. Oh,
oh
man.
Really?
She is the best. She okay. is the best. I actually remember seeing her in, I think she was in a movie called LA Confidential. Do you remember that? We're really going back.
Yes. 90s, was it?
And I remember loving her in it. I'd never seen her before. And going, who yeah. is this person? Do you know when you see an actor that you just love and you go, who is she? So I kind of, was always aware of her then, but she would she had obviously been cast on that because she was a huge star on Saturday Night Live.
Okay, yeah, I know what you mean. Like you spot somebody for the first time, but you know by looking at them, this can't be the first thing they've done. They have to have been around now for a while to be getting this.
Yeah, she is the business.
So you've been on her ever since. We need to get her. So
she's the business. Yeah.
We get her to follow you then as well.
She's something else. Fabulous actress too. Yeah, we need her to follow me. Yeah, we need her.
Okay.
That would have been my dream job, by the way.
Actress?
Saturday Night Live.
Oh, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. We never had an equivalent to that. You know, comedy sketches. I thought we were comedy sketches. That team, a team of writers.
Yes.
You're working all week to produce a show at the end of the week. That would have been
And it's a lot of fun. Like any time I've done sketches with other people and you're pulling it together and you're writing it together and it's, you know, it's evolving and whatever. It's a lot of fun. It's kind of the way...
You're not writing on your own like we do most of the time.
It's kind of the way comedy should be in a way, isn't
it?
But
when you're bouncing off other funny brains.
And then stuff just happens when you go to do it as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, in fairness, I got my fair share of sketch shows. But we just never had the resources...
No.
Or the amount of talent. I mean, when you look at a Saturday Night Live now and it's a cast of 20 or 30, you're talking about 20 or 30 of the best comics in America. Like, you're talking.
Yes. I did a sketch show for RT not too long ago. And I remember I got to one stage where I was doing sketches and I wanted to like film it here and film it there. Do you know where I ended up being given to film? Outside.
Outside the building?
Outside, down by the fucking daughter.
And you wanted...
I wanted like a bedroom. I wanted a bedroom set up like a teenager's bedroom back in the day.
Yeah. That's so not kind a hard of thing to create.
No.
You have one in your own house.
Yeah. But now we got the daughter. But you can't really expect it there. You're like, okay.
I know, but that's just... you see, that you're dead in the water then.
I know.
That's
you're fighting against that the whole time, aren't you?
Yeah, you forget it. You can't create like that. There's nobody going, can do, will do. Let's make it happen. Let's do that. What does Emma want? Okay, yeah.
No.
It wasn't a big ask.
No. And then, we didn't really have much costume or wardrobe.
Yeah, no, similarly, you know, anything I ever did.
You're pulling bits from your house.
You're literally going, you know, yeah. Tell me again how Shane came to follow you. Like,
I don't know.
He just saw a reel that made him laugh. Obviously.
He just saw a reel that made him laugh. He got
this
on board.
Is great. See,
I hope he hasn't unfollowed me now. I hope he hasn't gone.
I'm way behind you on the reels because you started making your comedy sketchy things. When?
Yes.
When?
Oh, I would say, well, started, I would say, around the same time I did stand up, but I didn't do it in the same way.
What are we talking? 10 years?
10 years, but not in the not in the same way. I would have been like once every few months, maybe.
And now, how often? Once a week?
Now I would try once a week, but it would depend on. Now I would wait until have I got an idea that I want to do?
But these ideas must come to you constantly. Your head, you really do. Remember when we did LOL, I gave you a good laugh when they said, write down, let me get back to my digital content.
I must bring that
but
page
your
in.
Head, it's very interesting to me because I don't think like that.
Okay.
I don't think in terms of sketches. It's a different
It's different to stand up, yeah. And then
very
I would think
different.
I'd think in stand up ways. Sometimes they cross over.
You're a visual thinker though.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
I'm a fucking obsessed. It's actually a disease. I'm thinking about it all the time. Something.
It's a disease, but this is what has made you. This is what elevated you to being a comic who can sell a ticket in her own name.
Took me out of the chipper.
Took you out of the chipper, love, and out of that single mom, 18. I'm saying single mom, I'm only presuming. Whatever happened to that?
Oh, fairly single.
Yeah.
Early doors.
I'm fascinated by that because I see a lot of digital creators who I love. The comedy ones in particular. My God, they're good. You're all so good. But I've made sketches and when I've been part of sketch shows, I've come up with sketches and written them, but my brain does not, that would never occur to me.
Do you know what I think changed it for me was I used to try and get other people to film for me. So that I was kind of, that's why I said it was only every once every so often. Mm. But what changed for me was, and I'm shit at technology, once I could edit on my own phone, then I was like, oh, I can do this whenever I want now.
I might have to get you to teach me a few skills.
I literally have minimum. Like, I film it on my phone and then I create movie and edit them.
It's so impressive.
So I think that's because I probably came at the right time where I could at least teach me that. I could teach myself that thing. Then I was 8 grand.
Anyway, it's very impressive. It's very impressive. And your turnover, you know, take it. Take the
risk. Trying to keep it going, you know. But yeah, then I think for people who came, people who started comedy when I did, I feel like we all kind of figured out going, well, they're not really going to make much TV. Do you remember back in the day, at least, there'd be more pilots, there'd be more stuff going on.
So
you just went, right, I better just make something myself then.
Yeah, it's over. And for ages, I was watching people like you make all this content. I was thinking, well, how are they going to monetize this? It's such an amount of time and hours and effort. Yeah. I was thinking, well, how are you going to get paid for that?
Yeah, but you see, we weren't going to get paid.
But you still only really
TV.
Get paid through your stand-up.
Yeah.
Not for the sketches. But yeah. That's your following.
But you do the odd branded bit.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? You'd make a video for the odd...
The odd company.
If you kind of said, oh yeah, I like that or whatever.
Yeah.
And you'd get a few quid.
To do anything like that. But because you don't do sketches.
But then some of them, that's how they would solely make their income.
Maybe
through
we
the
should
branded
create
stuff.
An odd little sketch to sell the pod. We do, Sissy. That's our reel.
Yeah, but yeah, maybe we should, yeah. Mm. Yeah, do a little sketch. Would that you not get your fella to film you?
Are you joking me? He's too busy. He's no interest. He's making a movie, a proper movie. Like, film your sketches. God almighty.
I suppose, yeah. Even when I ask my fella to take a picture of me, I just want to kill myself.
No,
it's
totally,
terrible.
Totally. He's not even good at taking a picture and he's a filmmaker. Even the kids go, wow, what are you doing? Like, what? But also, you know, quite into having space.
Yeah.
You know, we work together occasionally and it's like,
that's enough.
This is too much. This is too much.
Do that. It's just that.
This is enough. Too much.
Yeah. Now I will, if I need a photo for something or I need someone to like film something for me, I'll usually just ask Ella.
Totally.
He just starts getting real like snippy at me or something.
Oh yeah.
What is that?
It's weird. It's weird. Yeah.
No, don't.
Stand over there and put your head and you're not, no. And then I'm like,
and then they
excuse
hand
me.
Do you get this? They hand you back the phone. Up. I don't know. Like, how difficult is it?
I don't know. It's something we're not meant to work together, really. Even though we have worked together, actually.
I don't know what it is. And then I'd give it to Ella and she'd take, like, you should, like 20 things.
Yeah, she's
you know
the
what
only
mean?
One, so
you can,
she understands.
You can choose from it and whatever. But he just gets all... I fucking don't like that lippy
Shane
thing.
Ritchie now would be pretty patient with you, I'd say.
Well, Shane would be all over. We're both in the business.
Oh, Shane would be all over that. Shane Ritchie.
Yeah.
What did you say your name was?
I think he likes the
Shane Ritchie.
You're right, Emma.
You're right.
Oh, I want him to be like that.
Oh, cheeky chappy, innit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All
you're right.
Right,
Emma.
Oh, yeah. And he's always
leave
coked,
it out.
He's always coked up and off his head. Suit you down to the ground. Anytime he rocks up at an awards show, he's like, out of it, innit? But I think he turned up at the IFTAs. Something.
Oh, did you go to the IFTAs?
Oh, yeah, absolutely blocked. Allegedly, Your Honour.
Yeah.
How'd you say his name was?
He'd fail for me.
Shane Ritchie.
He'd fail, but I feel like he's into the blondes. If he was trying to set, if he was trying to calm himself for a while, he'd probably
I think that's very, what's the word? I'm looking for calm, but you can't find the word. Stereotypical.
No, but that's
stereotypical.
Yeah,
you think he's
is,
into blonde birds with big knockers.
Yeah, that's
because he's a little cheeky chappy. I'd say he's got...
Oh, cheeky chappy.
Cheeky chappy. I'd say he's got more imagination than that. He's after following you, you little ginger. Hot little ginger over there.
So you
I'll follow her. She's funny.
You think he'd take a few pictures for me and he wouldn't be snapping at me?
He'd take a few pictures and he'd ride the arse off me at the same time.
Yeah, but that's it. Would he do anything else though? Do you know what I mean?
Want him to do anything else, love. That's why he's in your head. That's why he's been in your head since you were what? 14?
Younger.
The doors. Younger.
The Daz doorstep challenge.
So some... Oh, the Daz. The Daz Doorstep Challenge. Well, now we're talking. Whiter than white. Blue whites.
Yeah.
Oh, because I don't know what, as a kid. So cute. Even then, you just looked at Shane Richie and went, whoa, I wouldn't mind. When you were you 12?
Maybe 12. God, and I was mad for answering the door as a young one. Do you know the way there's always one person in the house that loves answering the door?
Yeah.
That was me.
But you just thought Shane Richie was going to be there with the Daz, with the box of Daz.
And we never got Daz. Do you know? So I feel like...
God, it's amazing to be that young though, isn't it? And suddenly like see this man on the telly and have the hots from. And now here you are and he follows you on Instagram.
I know.
Oh, who knows? Very cute.
Have you been into many strip clubs?
No, never been to one.
Never?
No.
Of any kind?
No, but sure, where would I have been? Where is there one?
What are you doing, living under a rock?
Yeah! Where is... Remember when Peter Stringfellow tried to open a club and the fucking country nearly shut down?
I don't know. I have been in a couple over the years. Various different countries.
Yeah, you see... Oh! In various different countries. Some of us were having kids when we were fucking 18.
This is the problem. You had a child at 18 and I had my first at nearly 37.
Do you see difference? Yeah,
36, let's say 36.
So that you were fucking going to strip clubs, having the time of your life.
I wasn't going to strip clubs, but I have been.
You were addicted to going to strip clubs.
My consensus was they are depressing places. They are not. I wanted to go. Well, I'm always curious to see everything, so I go down there. But you know, I wanted to just see it, and I wanted to see. Oh, I've just remembered another one I went to. Yeah, in London.
So you were addicted to going to strip clubs.
I wasn't. I've been a handful. You were three or four different times.
And she had to get on the weed gummies to try and calm her addiction.
three or four different times. And my takeaway from it was it's very much for men.
Yeah.
There is not an angle. They are not looking for female customers. Mm. And it feels quite degrading, even though you know the women are getting paid and they're into it. It's just not, no. I remember feeling, there's no crack in here. There wasn't any crack.
There is. Well,
it's not a fun environment. It's a you'll do that now for us and we'll be pay you and we'll degrade you a little bit.
There's no strip clubs in Ireland.
No, but I think there is a market for creating something that is more fun.
Yes.
That actually women might enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you pitching something?
Who should I get on to about this? There's clearly a gap in the market.
So you want to...
I think women would like something.
But there's
that
a bit
might
of crack. Not that crack, the other type of crack. How would you create that in a strip club?
I suppose you see it would have to be an equal. I suppose if it was female run, then it would have a different atmosphere, wouldn't it? Oh, not necessarily. There've been plenty of madams who've been happy to manipulate and what's the word?
Exploit.
So women.
How would you do it differently?
How would I do it? I suppose what I'm saying is there not room for something that might be just a bit classier, a bit like a bit of burlesque? Say somebody, you know, the brilliant people like Vita Dantes, who's actually incredible at what she does as a burlesque artist. Is there not a bit more room for that, where it's just sexy and fun and then people will want to go? We don't seem to be very good at creating things like that. Now, I know maybe it's a very niche market. Maybe it's too small. I don't know, but I just think if somebody went for it actually and got it right.
Yeah.
So it could be a good, healthy thing. Yeah. A healthy thing.
Like maybe, like not kind of flinging yourself around a pole and all that, but maybe just like dancing the way you would if you were in your kitchen.
Yeah.
In your bra and knickers, waiting for the kettle or something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that kind of like just the shoulders move, like this is gas. That kind of dancing instead of all the like, you know, leg spread dancing.
Yeah.
Can we hear now, Emma? You won't need to do the dancing.
No. I won't need to do the dancing, but I can kind of choreograph it because it's obviously new.
Yeah, but it's more about punters having a place to go that they go.
Yeah.
Say you wanted to go with your fella and you said, it'd be nice to go to something that was sexy, that would be fun for us to go together. To enjoy. We don't have
We don't do that, do we?
If I said that to Shane, if I said, wouldn't it be nice for us to go to something fun together? That's a bit sexy. He'd be like, what is wrong with you?
No, he would not. He'd be like, I'll get me coat. I'll get me coat immediately, is what I would think. No?
I'd say.
The problem is we don't have anyone. No. That's, and this is my point. We don't actually have anything.
If I said to him, let's go, me and you, let's do something sexy and fun. He'd be like, this is a sting operation. He's like,
how long are you two together?
16 years. Yeah.
Might be too short a time.
No, I think if
wait, you get to 25.
I think if I was suggesting to him, let's go out somewhere and do something that's sexy and fun together, I think he'd be like, this is a sting operation. I'm getting set up. She's investigating.
He'd think
me
you
or
were
something.
Taking him to a swingers party.
Oh, yeah, but that would be.
That seems that to be something we do.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that.
That would be
it
his
seems
fear.
To be.
Mm. I have a theory about
but
this.
But Emma, why is there nothing in between? Why everybody talks about there's lots of swingers in Ireland, apparently, in every housing estate in the country. There's a bit of.
But you know what? Do you know all that's going on there with those swinger
no,
parties?
No, tell us. I want to know.
This is my theory, okay? So I have. There's another man, right? And me and her text each other because all the boys are friends, right? Their son is friends with my boy. Are my boys. So you know the way, like they're calling down to him. Oh, they're on their way down now. Mm-hmm. Or if her young fella's heading back home, I'll be like, oh, he's just left. You know, all this
yes,
kind of thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But if I'm at a gig and likewise, if she's out, us two are still texting each other while the fathers of these children are at home. Because these two are both men. They're very similar. That just want quiet lives and they don't want to have to be doing the texty bit. Okay.
They have a bit of an aversion to texting, man.
They hate the texting.
Christ, they hate texting.
And so I'm at a gig and I'm still texting her because my fella has let me know that her child has left the house. It's very
complicated. What has this got to do with swinging?
I'm getting to it.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So my theory is that because obviously for swinging to happen, it's the women who have to get on board. It's the women that have to green light it. I think what's happening is there's women out there that think they just want Colin and Paul to break the fucking ice and they just say, we'll be doing an ale swingers party and then the lads will start texting each other. Do you know what I mean? Because it's very hard to get adult men to make friends with other adult men if they don't support, if it's not about football or something. And I think there's women out there going, sure, we'll organise a bit of a swingers party. It'll break the ice. The lads will have great crack.
Well, I like your imagination.
why else would wives think that swinger parties would be a good idea? I think it's just
because they might be sick of their regular sex life.
Yeah, but I think
they've been doing the same thing for a long time.
But I think they'd just go out and get a ride. A swingers party. Like,
just go out and get a ride.
No, but listen, party is more admin in a woman's life than you need.
Well, I still, okay. You
need
snacks, I don't think drinks. That admin is at the top of anybody's list.
It's a party,
in relation
though. What
to,
are you going to feed them? You have to give them something. There has to be drinks. Have you got enough tonic?
You've just turned into an L1 right before my eyes and I'm delighted. I'm delighted because it's not me.
Imagine you were at a swingers party and there was no tonic. Wouldn't you be raging?
I think there's other things that could upset me more.
At a swingers party.
Anyway, I will say this about the swingers thing. I'll say this about the swingers thing. I have a bit of admiration for the people who.
Yeah.
I don't think it's for me. I don't think I'd like it, but I have a bit of admiration for the honesty of it. The fact that couples go together and therefore they're discussing.
Yeah, but are the lads
what's all right and what they want?
Is there a lot of lads getting left out in the corner?
No idea.
I think that happens a good bit, that couples go along.
Yeah.
Right?
You think this happens a good bit, that some fellas get left in the corner?
They get left in the corner.
What? Just watch.
Because there's a higher percentage of men who want to get involved in this stuff than women. So couples that come, that's hot property, right? Single men on their own wanting to get involved in this stuff. Ten a penny. There's
Isn't
loads
that
of them.
Mostly couples?
It's mostly men on their own who want to get involved in this stuff. So
no,
they say to them,
why am I?
No.
I thought there was an etiquette and rules to this.
No, but
you
they
have
say
to be
no
couples
to them.
To go in.
But a lot of the time it's the men that get left in the corner.
The little incels, is it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It is.
They're caught up.
They're the ones that go around.
I watch stuff about this fucking all the time. I love all the shows about dogging and, you know, these mad.
There are shows about dogging? But
of course there's shows about dogging.
What are they on? Why am I not watching them?
Well, there's loads. There'll be loads of them on Channel 4. Like, do you ever watch like some Channel 4? Like some
I don't really watch telly anymore. I only watch the streamers now.
No, but you see, if you want a mucky, dirty documentary, Channel 4 is your only man. Especially back in the day, they had some.
No, I know back in the day, but what I'm talking about now.
Just watch it on YouTube. They had a great documentary.
YouTube. You see, I need to get into YouTube. Yeah, I'm not watching enough.
They had
YouTube.
A great documentary about dogging. Couples that go dogging, couples that dress up as fucking dogs. That's another mad one.
Yeah.
But the dogging I can
get. That's Halloween.
Yeah. The dogging, the outdoor dogging I can get. A bit of a breeze on your hole and all that. But there was this couple who were dogging. And he's like, he just likes to watch me. And they go and drive up the mountains and she's on the bonnet of a car.
Yeah.
And he just likes to watch. And that's what he likes
to watch her with someone else.
Yeah. And then they come home and they had a fucking pie and mushy peas and chips.
After him watching her getting it on with someone
else. Yeah, yeah.
What does he get? He just gets the mushy peas and the chips.
No, but he watches her.
Yeah, but does he not get the ride off her then after?
I don't think so. I think they just go home and have pie, mushy peas
and
chips.
They go home and have pie.
Yeah, and watch telly.
Laura there, our lovely producer, has just asked, have you ever been interested in or done any Chippendales nights? I could think of nothing worse. It would not turn me on. I would hate it with a passion.
It is the
Strippograms,
most.
Oh my God. I'd be ill.
Butler and the Buff, all that stuff. Stop. I just find it so mortifying. I
saw a Strippogram coming into a woman one night that I knew.
Yeah.
And it was so wrong. Whoever had booked it was like, wrong. You've got this so wrong.
It was so wrong.
Humiliating. It was. Oh my. I wanted to crawl. I wanted the ground to open and swallow me. And it wasn't me.
Yeah.
I was just observing.
I saw a stripper at a hen that I went to. Now, lovely looking fellow, but he was smaller than me. And it's the whole thing. When I see a stripper coming, I just can't handle. It's just, there's something so...
It's wrong.
It's really
wrong. So it's like, I'm not going to watch somebody being paid a bit of money for this.
He had her down on the ground. And he's gyrating, right? In
He's gyrating. This is an X-rated pod and we weren't expecting this. Go on anyway.
He's gyrating into her neck. He's gyrating into her neck.
The back of her neck. Gyrating into her neck. The back of her neck. I can't even picture this. It just sounds
because he's grinding on top of her, but obviously he's a gentleman, so he doesn't want to like grind into her face. So he kind of grinds into the side of her neck. You know, that's what's a pony.
Very decent of him, yeah. Not decent of him to go into her face.
All I can do
is
the first thing I do with that situation.
Yeah, what do you do?
I look at the mother-in-law to be straight away.
Oh my God, she's there. She's there. Who thinks this is a good idea? How the fuck can that work? Your mother-in-law. What's wrong with people? Are they insane? Let's get a lad to come and gyrate his cock into the back of her neck while her mother-in-law watches on. I mean,
like a fucking Jack Russell. Like a Jack Russell.
It's too much. It's too much.
But I can't.
No, if you have a mother-in-law to look at, and what does the mother-in-law look like? Mortified.
Mortified.
She's thinking of the wedding and going, oh my.
She's thinking, just fuck. Because what do Irish people do in a panic? They just start clapping. They just start clapping.
Who does this? Who hires a strippogram to come and do that?
A frenemy. Somebody who's been telling you for years they're your best friend, but they actually fucking hate you. And everyone starts clapping.
Yeah.
But the mother-in-law. Yeah,
the one time I witnessed it, there was certainly no mother-in-law present. But it was mortifying. It was just this woman going, actually, sorry, no, this is not for me.
It's bad.
And the strippergram trying to do his job so he could get paid. Yeah. And her going, honestly, this is not for me. She was red in the face. He was trying to, you know, do his job and get paid. Everybody was awkward. Ugh.
It's
very
terrible.
Irish. Awful, awful, no, awful, no. awful.
The mother-in-law is just there like this at the what I was at. And you can, you
I don't
can
think this
talks.
Is happening in France. This is the point I would like to make.
It's not happening.
I don't think.
She just wants the grandchildren. She's just
that
like,
there
just
is a strippergram going along to some party in France. I think
no.
I think they do sex better and they handle all that stuff. And
I think they have sex and then they have some cheese and wine, a couple of cigarettes,
L'Affaires.
Yeah,
and little.
I don't think they'd even call it.
They have a thing. They have a thing called 5 to 7. I'm French, obviously, so I know about this. 5 à 7. Have you ever heard of that?
5 à 7.
5 to 7. So they have a 5. This was a thing that existed in France. I think it's probably on the wane. But yeah. People would actually say, I'm going for my 5 à 7. 5 to 7. I go and see my mistress and then I go home for dinner. And it was a kind of permissible, unspoken thing. A 5 à 7. Mm-hmm.
But only the men or the women?
I think women also. It
nice.
Was a, it was a, yeah, it's like, it's very civilized. I'm going to go and get it on with somebody that I like and I'll be home for dinner.
2 hours is grand. But
2 hours is loads.
Well. Yeah.
Loads.
Loads. Little chat. Get it done.
Yeah. Quick Nobody's
snack.
Gyrating your neck there with your mother-in-law watching. It's just two grown-ups. Having a nice 5 à 7, probably a little glass of red.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
In the privacy of their own little gaff.
Probably have a little shower and all,
a
and
little
just freshen up.
Whatever, and home for dinner. You Bob's wouldn't disrespect
your, yes, the
your
family.
Partner by, or the family by not being home in time for dinner. Thank you for listening, subscribing. Oh, the lovely reviews that people wrote. Thank you so much.
So very much thank yous.
Yeah.
Deirdre, you're on tour. Where can
I'm
we get
on
tickets?
Tour and people are texting me and messaging me about tickets. So deirdreocane.net.
Beautiful.
Yes. My second Olympia has just gone on sale. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, yep.
Whoop, whoop. That'll be December.
I'm also on tour. emmadorncomedy.com. I'm going all over the place. Dilemma. Vickers, get on it.
God, you did much better than me there. My show's called O'Caning It. I'll be all over the country as well.
Do people care? Yeah, yeah.
No, nobody cares.
We'll be in the car.
O'Caning.net.
Like, subscribe, get involved. Thanks for being here.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week.
Yeah. Love yous, love your attitude.
And thank you very much to our sponsor, Key for Her.
Key for Her!
20% discount.
Oh, yeah.
With the code word tight. Keyforher.com.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.